I have a guest via phone. Lily Klein, the Aspira St. Luke's Hospice Volunteer Coordinator, is with me by phone on this chilly and slow January morning. Thank you so much for being here, Lily.
Of course. Thanks for having me, Katya.
Yes. So we've talked hospice before, and you know, even about our end of life series we had here that is still available via archive on our program drop-down menu. But hospice is an ongoing thing that seems like is sort of a continual revolving door of both people going through hospice and people volunteering for hospice. And let's just start with a little bit of what is hospice, what's the purpose of it, and yeah, let's just start with that.
For sure, yeah. So like mentioned, I am the volunteer coordinator for Aspirus St. Luke's Hospice. We are a nonprofit hospice based here from our hospital in Duluth, but we do service within 40 miles of our main campus hub in downtown Duluth. So we service up to Two Harbors into Wisconsin, the other direction towards Cloquet, so a large 40-mile radius serving patients wherever they call home. So people who are facing some sort of life-limiting or terminal illness, we provide care to them in their own personal homes, assisted livings, skilled nursing homes, group homes. Again, just kind of wherever you call home, we come to you and provide care with nurses, social workers. We have therapists available, grief support, and of course, volunteers as well to provide that supplemental support and understanding and care for folks.
Yes.
Kind of experiencing the difficulties of end of life.
Yes, and I know there are different types of hospice, and just so to clarify, there are businesses that are hospice, and then there is nonprofits that are hospice. What kind of hospice are you?
So we're a nonprofit. We are not privately owned. You know, we work through Aspirus St. Luke's Hospital. There are some private companies as well that provide hospice care in our area. And I always like to mention to folks that they don't need to be patients of Aspirus St. Luke's to come into our hospice program.
Okay.
You don't need to have prior care before coming or being a part of hospice.
Yes.
If you're considering it, we always recommend, you know, looking into it, calling us. We can do informational visits and give you, you know, kind of the rundown of what we can provide for you and your family. So if you do have any questions or, like I said, are even considering it, do think and recommend starting sooner rather than later so that you can really utilize and take advantage of all the services that we offer patients and families.
Yes. Well, I know my mom used to volunteer for hospice. So we've known about hospice for a long time, and now we're in the position of having received hospice care as well, and having the experience that I've heard about happening frequently, which is that hospice care being so gentle and friendly and non-stressful that people often improve when they go under hospice,
even though
So I just think it's really neat how this has developed and really a much more appropriate end-of-life type of support system than is often found just in a hospital or even at home. So wonderful that you do this, and you do need volunteers to really maintain the level of care. Yeah, so tell us what kind of volunteers.
Yeah, so we're always looking for more volunteers. We, our volunteers, again, serve all of our patients within our 40-mile radius, so you can live kind of in a variety of places. You don't need to be a Duluth resident to be a volunteer, but they can provide just those variety of services to help, again, I had mentioned, you know, supplemental support and comfort for patients and their families. So some of the things that our volunteers do would be like companionship or friendly visits, just being someone that folks can talk to, confide in, just someone who is there to actively listen and provide that atmosphere of warmth and understanding.
Yeah.
We have volunteers who provide respite to caregivers. So folks who are caring for their loved ones full-time in their own personal homes, that's a really exhausting and demanding job. So having volunteers come in and sit with the patients while primary caregivers can get out, run errands, go to their own appointments, take a break, take a nap, whatever they need.
Yeah.
We have kind of the specialized volunteers, so folks who play music, you know, music therapy. We have people with certified therapy dogs who provide pet therapy. We have some massage therapists in our program. We love when veterans enter in as volunteers because they can provide some really special kind of vet-to-vet veteran support to folks at end of life. We have bereavement volunteers, so people who are making phone calls, sending mailings, offering support to people who are grieving and have lost loved ones already. And then one of our really neat programs as well is the 11th Hour program. So our volunteers tend to really enjoy this. It's a very kind of sacred, special time, but being with folks at end of life so that they're not alone when they pass away. So folks who are kind of imminent or actively dying have someone sitting with them so that they don't die alone.
Yeah.
That's something our volunteers do too.
And I know too that often people, I don't know enough to know if it's often, but people, it's when their family leaves that they feel permission or they, for whatever reason, decide that is their time. And so
sometimes.
Nice to have a hospice person there, just there at that incredible sacred time, as you say. What does it take to become a volunteer? I mean, I listen to that list and I go, oh my gosh, that would be great. That would be fun. But how much time do I have to commit and do I have to get trained and how time consuming is it exactly? Can I work in my own hometown only? That kind of question. So practically speaking, what might this mean?
Yeah. So what's great about our hospice program is that, you know, I, as program manager, don't require a certain amount of time. I realize that many of our volunteers work full-time and have lives outside of volunteering. So it's really very self-initiated and works around your schedule. So if there is a certain day or time that works best for you and you want to commit to that and that works for the patient or family that you're working with, that works for me too. If your schedule week to week is a little bit more sporadic and you just want to see what availability you have on Monday morning or whenever you have free time to pop in and see your patient and work with them, that works too. It's very flexible, which I think is really part of volunteering that is really appealing to a lot of people.
Yeah.
But I do all the orientation with folks, so kind of giving them an overview of hospice, what we do, what our volunteers can do, kind of giving you a little prep, especially for folks who maybe haven't worked with people at end of life before, a little bit of what to expect and certain policies and protocols. Beyond that, our volunteers are required to have a background check, so I can help folks fill out the paperwork for a background check in both Minnesota and Wisconsin. And then the only requirements we have to start are a test for tuberculosis prior to starting and a flu influenza vaccination yearly. So all of our volunteers get a yearly flu shot, and after that, I just kind of keep up to date on paperwork and managing times and things like that. But the starting is really, it sounds like a lot. It can sound intimidating, but I am there with you through the whole thing, helping you fill out paperwork and complete the orientation and get you started.
Yeah. How many volunteers do you currently have?
We currently have 55 volunteers.
Whew.
Yeah, so they are all providing different services, and so I really work to personalize what people want to provide, so the type of volunteering they want to do with patients and what they're looking for. I really try to match patients and families with what I feel is the best volunteer for them, whether that's gender, age, services they're providing, location as well. I wouldn't be sending a volunteer in Two Harbors all the way to Lake Nebagam in Wisconsin to be doing volunteering. I would try and keep them closer to home and working with folks in their area.
Yeah.
Because I know, especially in the winter, traveling far distances is demanding and not appealing either. So I really work to tailor your experience. I work really closely with all of my volunteers to make sure that they have the support that they need, they have the training that they need, and that they feel confident and, just have all the support that they need to provide services that they want to.
Yep. I'm speaking with Lily Klein, the Aspirus St. Luke's Hospice Volunteer Coordinator, this morning. And Lily, we are pretty much out of time, but I just want to finish to ask if you have any a special story to tell or just an illustration of, or even just tell us, you know, what is it about hospice that appealed to you? Why are you involved in hospice as opposed to all the other areas of medical care that there could be?
Yeah, both are very good questions. I would say I fell into hospice a little bit accidentally. I'd done volunteer coordinating before this opportunity came up. I had really no background in hospice, but I've worked here for three and a half years now, and it's such a rewarding, special part, a program to be a part of, just because of the difference that we're making and so many people's lives and the really heartfelt, rewarding chance we get to help people in our community. With that being said, I have lots of special stories, but one recently that really struck me is our pet therapy program. I do help folks get their dogs certified therapy dogs. If anyone's interested in getting a dog certified to be a part of pet therapy. But one of our pet therapists has been working with a dementia patient who is very, very, pretty much nonverbal, no interaction besides when she comes with her dog. And it lights up, talks to the dog, is interacting with the dog. And it's really the only time his family get to see him interact or be verbal and responsive at all is when our volunteer comes with her dog. And that's such a special gift to both the family. And I think it's really rewarding for the volunteer and her dog as well to be a part of that special journey. So, so many special things that happen. But it's just a really, you know, I don't know how else to describe it besides sacred time to be a part of this point in someone's life and their journey.
Yes, it is a sacred chapter. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Lily, for speaking with us. This is Lily Klein with us here on KTWH, and we will have you again. Thanks again.
Thanks so much, Katya. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. That was Lily Klein.